Hey, we're all set. Well, I tell you what, Stru Man here, the 4-Hour Outdoorsman. We just got done listening to the Homegrown Show. Man, every time Brian has a guest on the Homegrown Show, it gets better and better.
I almost feel like I'm on American Idol or America's Got Talent, because the talent pool here, producer Mark, is just amazing. I mean, they call it the Homegrown Show. These are, I don't know, independent record labels or whatnot. And I know we're a hunting and fishing show, but country music, hunting and fishing, they kind of go hand
in
hand.
What is it about every week there's just a beautiful young woman that can sing really well in the studio?
Yeah, but this time she was smart and brought her husband, so that screwed up my whole program.
Oh, Stru, you were thrown off there, weren't you, buddy?
I was, yeah. I didn't know how to handle it. How you doing, Boomer?
I'm doing good. Happy Sunday to the land of 10,000 lakes. I have spent,
Let me stop you for a second. You look like crap.
I look like crap.
You look like crap, like you've been on the water for 5 days.
Well, it's probably been about 5 to 7 days, and we were at the big retail store, and I did buy the aloe, but I was caking it on as I was in the checkout line, because I was out on the Metro, Minnetonka with Nicole. I spent a few days on Mille Lacs. The old man was with me. We'll shift over and ask Mark how he's doing, but I've got some great insights. Got a lot of help from our friend Tony Roach, Jordan Dahl, and Matt Klug from MK Fish Guiding Service, but had an absolute blast in the Alumacraft, and we'll get into it in about 1 minute, Stru Man. But I am tan, I am burnt, and I am ready for Wild on the Water next weekend.
Well, we'll
talk
about that in a few minutes as well. Mark, how you been, buddy?
I've been great. How have you
been,
Stru?
Busy week, 4th of July stuff. How was your week?
Yeah, we had a wonderful day at the Stru Cabin on Wednesday with my whole family.
We did, yeah.
The only time it rained was when we were sitting down for a parade, and it dumped like crazy for an hour straight, but a beautiful day we got to spend on the pontoon with the kids, and they love your place.
And we had the 4-Hour Outdoorsman Sea Sprite. The 1973 Sea Sprite was with us. Yeah,
we did. Well, my son Max keep asking, let's go to Stru's house again. Let's go to Stru's house again. You got all the stuff. You got the hot tub. You got all the kids' toys. We really love going there. But it was a great week for me. We're getting ready for the Wild on the Water tournament this weekend, Boomer. Is that why you're working so hard to get all these
That is spots? Exactly why we've been working so hard. So pretty excited the first time, you know, and just, you know, everyone who's tuning into the 4-Hour Outdoorsman on Bob Country, Stru Man, Boomer here, producer Mark, and we've got a great show tonight. Bill Sherrick is going to join us here in the second half, and you know, I am pretty excited about it, Mark. I'm going to say you get a little bit of like butterflies as you get closer to it, because Nicole and I are flying down to Orlando on Wednesday, get back Friday afternoon. We're going to be at ICAST. So on Sunday, we'll talk about some of the new products that are coming out in the fishing world. I mean, that's the world's largest fishing show. And then we head up to Izades Resort, which is nestled in on the south end of Mille Lacs there, which I know that area a little better now. And then Saturday, we go out and I'll be captaining a boat. And it's a lot of fun, and as you know me, Mark, I'm pretty loosey-goosey when it comes to fishing. You know, when we have to get dialed in and I get pretty serious, that happens, you know, few and far between, but it does happen, you know, and I'm kind of getting dialed in on this one, right? Because you never know who's going to be in the boat with you. And so, first off, I know we're not going to be chasing walleyes, but the walleye bite on Mille Lacs is absolutely in fuego, on fire right now, wild card. You know, the walleyes are anywhere on the gravel bars, on the mud flats. It was nice to see, guys, when Nicole and I went up there, my dad and I went up there, that there was a lot of cars in the parking lots. I would say on the mud flats right now, a lot of people are live bait rigging. Or if you're on the gravel bars, you're using a bottom bouncer, which is like that pencil thing. The reason you're using the bottom bouncer on the gravel bars is so your little lead weight doesn't get stuck.
You're using live weight on the gravel as well, right?
Live bait. Our bait of choice was leeches. And with leeches, when you're running a live bait rig, especially when you get into these hot summer months, it's a very light, more of a finesse bite. And you keep your bail open. So the perfect combination is finding one, the sweet spot of the mud flat of where you should be on top and in transition or on the bottom. Two, what kind of speed are you traveling with your trolling motor?
Now, how do you keep the bail open while you're trolling? You just put your finger on it?
Yes. So what we did is we started off.
I know that was a dumb question.
Good question, because, you know, my dad and I were out there yesterday and we were talking and I said, all right, Dad, when they bite, even if it's a dead weight and your rod comes out of your hand, let it go, because they're probably just grabbing the tail. And so most of the time I found in my lifetime fishing, The bigger walleyes are more like a log. When you feel that chomp, like that beauty that I was blessed to catch in Devil's Lake filming with Midwest Outdoors, it was just like dead weight. It wasn't like an aggressive little hit from one of the males. It's a big mama female. And with that being said, we got out there and the magic speed was about 1 mile an hour, which can be pretty tricky at times on Mille Lacs because we know the wind is always blowing on Mille Lacs as it is in Devil's Lake.
Always.
Always. And the sweet spot was between about 27 to 30 feet wild card. Now, the top of the mud flats can vary from 22 feet to 23 feet. But what we found is anytime that I would mark a walleye or anytime I would get a nick or a hit or a short bite, which means they missed it.
Yeah.
I kept hitting the waypoints and I would shift between the top of the flat and to the bottom of the flat, the transition point to where it got the deepest. And where I found a consistency of waypoints on my electronics, that marked out the route I was going to take for the rest of the day, wild card. And it was between about 27 to 30 feet. And it was the windblown side of the mud flat. And that 1 mile an hour. And then what I would do is I would release probably about, 10, 20 yards worth of line.
I was just going to say, everyone always talks about the mud flats on Mille Lacs, right?
Yep.
And that's usually where we do most of our ice fishing.
Yep.
How can you tell on Navionics or on your graph if you're on a mud flat compared to gravel?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So there's
you got them.
There's
you
a
got
real
them.
Easy way. On. You can download an app on your phone. Navionics has one. Or most of the chips you buy with for your electronics, whether it's Lowrance, Hummingbird, or Garmin, they'll mark those for you. The other thing
they'll mark mud flats on.
Yeah, they'll say they'll have their different names. I mean, Curly's Flat, Buster's Flat. Those are some more popular. 7 Mile, Saguchi Flat. And with that being said, you can also tell why how you're dragging. So we released about 10 to 20 yards worth of line. We had a leader on there from the braid with fluorocarbon 8-pound test to the hook. We had a little bead above the hook, a little red hook, and about a green little bead. It was about 6 to 7 feet. The reason we were using that length of a leader is because it's really clear because of the zebra mussels, and they're really picky. And then we would let it out, and then you would flip your bail open, and then you would take, I think this is your index finger, I don't know, right?
Yes.
And your index finger, and you would press the line up against your rod. And anytime on a mud flat, if you feel weight, a pull, or just a tick, there's really no rocks there. So something stopped it. So once that happens, you release it and you let it run for maybe, you know.
What if you snag a Native American net?
well, then you're going to have more than one walleye, right? Yeah. But with that.
They're going to be dead, but that's okay.
But with that being said, no, great question or great point. Just kidding. But with that being said, you release it and then you flip the bail over. And the trick is you don't want that walleye to know that you're on the other line, right? And you're holding the rod. So you reel towards your hook and then you pull back. And if you feel no pressure, you reel towards your hook and you pull back. The reason being is if you're reeling and trying to pull and feel for pressure, it might be too late. They'll spit it out. But if you're just slightly pulling, you're already in the motion of setting the hook. And then once you feel any type of weight, you just set the hook, and most of the time you're going to hook up with the walleye. And
I don't think I've ever. Well, I'm sure I have a couple of times, but as I was growing up on Lake Vermilion, with the old man and my brothers and whatnot, everything was open bail. I mean, everything was open bail. And when you felt that hit, you let the line go for about. That's exciting. Your heart starts beating because you know something's there. Let it go for 4, 5, 6 seconds, close the bail, and then, as you said, point the rod toward them,
yep.
Feel a little resistance, and then set the hook. It is so exciting. That was about the only way we ever fished on Vermilion.
You know, it describes me of like when you're bringing the scope up on a whitetail, when you're reeling towards them and pulling back, because it's really intense, because it's got to be that right magical moment of right when you feel the pressure to set the hook. Now, with that being said, if you're used to like the jig and the minnow bite, or you're throwing a jig and a wrap, or you're throwing a swim bait after walleyes, you know, once you feel that initial tug, you usually set the hook. So my dad, we get out there the other day and we're on this flat and we got that magical spot. We're marking walleyes. And the thing to think about is if you've got 20 yards worth of line behind you and you mark it on your graph, either on the front of the boat or in the middle of the boat, which is reading the transducer on the back of the boat, there's usually about a 5 to 10 second delay, right? So you kind of muster up and you get in the zone. And I'm like, you ready, Dad? And my dad's sitting there and he's all ready. And all of a sudden I hear a beep, 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 beep. Oh my goodness. And his rod just bends over and I see my dad just set the hook as hard as he can. The rod just bends over like a half moon, a couple notches, and it was gone. And what had happened is he goes, oh my God, it was dead weight. And of course I didn't want to tell my dad, well, that was probably a 25, you know, monster walleye. Right? But he knew it. But it takes a little to get used to that. But once you get that down, that was the trick. And the flat bite is always hot on Mille Lacs, especially during the summer here. Now, I think the season for walleyes is going to close sometime in August. I will tell you this. I did see some dead walleyes floating on the water.
Really?
Yes, I did. But the walleyes that we did catch were healthy. They were fat. And one of the tips that I kind of took away from that is when people are fishing the flats, I saw a lot of people like to fish the flats that were bigger, right? Because they felt they had more room, more time to stay relaxed. My dad and I, Nicole, we found that we focused on flats where it got narrower. So even though it was a lot more work, Strew, once you went over that part of the flat, you had to drive back and then roll over it, it was much more productive. Now, people could have other luck with that, but it was much more focused on those type of skinnier flats.
Two things. Number one, if anyone's listening to the show and you hear a bunch of banging, it's Boomer describing his fishing by smashing his hands on the table. So disregard that. He's like an Italian guy.
I'm getting a little excited.
Yeah,
right?
He's getting a little excited. Hey, now, we always talked about don't fish memories. Boomer called me a couple of days ago. He was there at Mille Lacs a couple of days back and did well in the evening. And that's why he wanted to go back the next day and bring Papa Vaughn up. And you went back to the same place to hopefully catch a few fish for Dad.
Yep.
You're talking about 24 hours later. What made you think the fish would still be there the next day?
Because the wind was still blowing.
And were they there?
Yes, they were there. Two things, Drew. The conditions were similar as far as temperature, sunlight, and the wind was blowing from the same direction. Okay. And it was less than a 24-hour period.
Right.
So with that being said, that kind of covered the walleye fishing. Again, it was at about 1 mile an hour. 27 to 30 feet, a 6 to 8 feet leader from your braid, your fluorocarbon, all the way down to your hook, and letting that bail run with a leech. One nice asset that we had in the toolkit, guys, was the Fishing Buddy cooler. I tell you, it works real nifty. We stopped at a bait store on the way up. We had the gel packs frozen. That Fishing Buddy cooler kept 2 dozen packs of leeches. It kept it nice and tight, so you know you really didn't have to worry about water spilling up.
Yeah.
And it really kept them cool, and it kept them cool all day long. So the Fishing Buddy cooler was really a key tool in our toolkit to make sure that we caught those walleyes.
Where can people pick up a Fishing Buddy cooler?
You know what? Go to fishingbuddycooler.com. Google it. I know they're in 50 retailers. I know they're across Shields. But I want to transition a little bit into smallmouth bass because we have the Minnesota Wild on the water tournament coming up. What do you got, buddy?
Well, first I want to mention the Four Outdoorsmen shout-out post. If you comment on our post, the shout-out post, there's a picture of Bill Shirk's son there with 2 monster bass. Can't wait to hear about that story coming up after the break. But comment there with how you did this weekend. Right now we have one. Shannon Cruz sent a picture, said smelt fry on the 4th. That's something that I haven't had in a long time.
Yeah, tell you what, Shannon, give me your address. Yeah, I love smelt, and we haven't had it in a long time as well. We go to Shitek for their smelt fry. It's an annual thing from the Lions Club, and it is fun. I love it. I want to know where she lives.
Also, another question for you. Did you have a spinner, a blade, on your live bait rig, or was it just a bare leech?
Nope, it was a red hook with a little green chartreuse bead above the hook and a leech hooked in the front right below the sucker.
So transitioning into smallies a little bit, this is a bass tournament we're going to be fishing.
Yep.
And I got the pleasure to fish with Travis Frank pre-fishing. Now I have to work the event, so unfortunately while you're off catching fish, I'm running around and handing people beers and stuff. But anyway, we kind of found the fish on rock piles and drop-offs. Do you have, well, first of all, it's got to be a little intimidating. There's going to be some of the biggest names in bass fishing that are going to be at this tournament.
Yep.
And here comes Boomer, our man, who's going to fish against this colossal crowd of top fishermen, including our next guest, Bill Shirk. Do you feel pressure? It's a charity tournament.
Yeah.
No one's winning any money here. But I know how these things go. It's kind of a measuring spoon against yourself and these other names in the business.
Wouldn't it be
Do you feel pressure?
You know what? I felt a little pressure because I haven't put a lot of time in on Mille Lacs this year. You know, most of my travels are in North Dakota, as you know it, the Metro Lakes, different lakes, Bowstring, the Upper Whitefish Chain, spent a lot of time on Gull Lake this year. So it's more getting some pre-fishing in on the lake, which I felt that, you know, we were able to accomplish, plus getting help, you know, when you're able to reach out to Roach and Jordan and just say, hey, guys, give me some direction. And there's a few things I saw with the smallmouth bite going on Mille Lacs. Right now, it's kind of hit or miss. And if you read online, the fishing reports are like that. Those smallmouth are in post-spawn, which means they've laid their eggs. They've done their Austin Powers, so they're a little tired, especially the big females. The temperatures have swung up and down. Plus, you have a lot more pressure on smallmouth than we've seen in the past few years, which has made that bite a little tougher. Still a great fishery. You know, looking for those big boulders is really what I was focused on. So the last couple of days was using side imaging. And it wasn't so much fishing for them. It was really trying to get a feel of the structure and looking for deeper drop-offs. So that 8 to 14 feet, 8 to 15 feet, looking for those deeper rocks because we have had sunny days. Did throw up a couple presentations like a tube, a swim bait, a Ned rig, and a wacky worm. And believe it or not, a wacky worm, because you were looking for something real slow. Because when I was throwing the grub out there, I actually did connect with a couple nice smallmouth, but they bit the tail off. And that's not common of a smallmouth. They're a very aggressive, opportunistic predator fish. And so with that being said, and I was dragging that grub on the bottom. So it's going to be a real slow presentation game. If it's windy out, a crankbait, like a jerkbait can be real good, or a hair jig can work when it's not so windy. So I think when we start off with, we're going to be using something like a Ned rig, which basically looks like a wacky worm that's cut in half and you throw it on a jig and you just kind of drag it on the bottom. I think that's going to be our selection of choice and really just trying to focus in on the windblown big boulders. And I tell you what, on the south end of the lake, I was there. There's Gull Reef, there's Pope, there's Spider. There is a ton of reefs around that. Rocky Reef, Anderson Reef. So we're really going to focus on those reefs and where there's big rocks and throwing a very slow presentation with some terminal tackle on it.
Do you know who your we'll find out later. I was going to ask Boomer who he's going to be fishing with from the Minnesota Wild, but we'll find that out later on if you know the answer. Be right back with the Far Outdoorsman, and then we're going to talk to Bill Shirk, right?
Yes, got sir, it. The man about the woods.
Seen a while.
Missed part of Bob Outdoors? No problem. Just click on the weekend tab at mybobcountry.com to listen back to the Four Outdoorsmen anytime.
Families fishing forever, the motto of Alumacraft, the best aluminum boat company in the market. Boomer here. Alumacraft boats have been a part of our family's fishing adventures for the last 5 years. Whether we're chasing walleyes, going after bass, or panfish, Alumacraft has always covered the gamut of fishability. Dry rides and amazing space are just part of the value we love in our Alumacraft. To learn more about the Alumacash Red Tag Sale, where you can save up to $2,000, go to alumacraft.com or visit a dealer near you. If you love walleye fishing, then you'll love Devil's Lake, North Dakota, where walleye season is open 365 days a year. Plus, you can keep 5 walleyes a day with a 2-day possession limit. What does that mean? You can bring home 10 walleyes to the freezer, baby, and there is no slot limit. Devil's Lake just doesn't have world-class walleye fishing. It's got awesome jumbo perch, northern pike, and white bass. For lodging and guide options, up-to-date fishing reports, visit devilslakend.com.
Hey, what fire? Lakes Trading Company is up and running at 708 South Lake Street in Forest Lake. Fire may have destroyed the building, but not the spirit and the drive of the Twin Cities' premier firearms destination. If you enjoy the outdoors and love firearms, give Lakes Trading Company a very serious look. I'll tell you what, they've got everything you could want, whether you're a rookie or a pro, and the staff is second to none. Lakes Trading Company, well, my friend, they're coming back stronger than ever. If you want more information, check out their website. Go to lakestradingco.com.
Hi, this is Kyle Barr from Juice Baits. When you're fishing with soft plastics this season, you're going to rock it when you choose Juice Baits. Juice Baits are a less expensive alternative with a huge variety of options, such as craw tubes, creature baits, Senkos, tubes and jig trailers, swim baits and finesse worms, and a wide selection of crappie baits. See the entire selection of Juice Baits at juicebaits.com and like our Facebook page. When you hit the water, throw the juice. Juice Baits, a Minnesota company.
Sometimes deer like to jaywalk. And every once in a while, a basketball forgets to look both ways before bouncing across the street. When those moments happen, be ready for the stop. With a Michelin Premier all-season tire, a tire designed to maintain excellent wet-braking performance throughout its life, so you can keep your precious cargo safe. Day after day, mile after mile. Compare wet-braking distance at michelinman.com/long-lasting performance.
Commence Exxon and mobile field test. Scientists observe Subject C at station. Subject C forgot his wallet. Subject C uses the SpeedPass Plus app to pay for gas and earn rewards with the tap of a button. Subject C is a cool guy. Subject C actually looks like my cousin Carl. Subject C is my cousin Carl. Conclusion, SpeedPass Plus is the quick, fast, secure way to pay for gas, and Subject C wrecked my jet ski.
Yes, you did, Carl!
Exxon and mobile. Energy lives here. Visit Exxon.com or mobile.com for details.
We are back. We're back with the Four Outdoorsmen. Strewman here. Boomer Mark Lukey. Who's the man behind the glass helping us out, Mark?
Brandon. He's our new chief on the board.
He's not new anymore. Hell, he's been around for about a couple of months.
Yeah, he's been around for a little bit. Well, I know Mark's working with Brandon to get Bill Sherrick on the line. As we get Bill on the line there, I don't know the exact wild player that I'm going to have with me. There's a couple rumors floating around, and that's why I use my inside connection at Minnesota Bound, i.e. Mark Lukey. So as soon as I find out wild card, we'll
text
know who it's
me.
Gonna
I wanna, what do you got, Mark?
Well, we had Bill on for a second. I know he's driving and the phone disconnected, so we're going to try again to get Bill. It might be just a little bit, but I have another shout-out. It's from Corey Bechtol. He says, full report from yesterday's Bass Smash Fest. That sounds like fun.
Ooh.
On the What's Working Now Facebook page. And he says, gotta love the new Blackfish gear. He's sporting the exact shirt I'm wearing right now, and it is fantastic. So right now, we have the man about the woods, I believe, on the phone. Mr. Bill, are you there?
Bill Sherrick.
Bill, are you there, buddy?
Keep working on him, Brandon. Keep working.
Bill, do we got you?
I'll tell you what, let's keep working a little bit. I'm gonna share something with you. I think this is really funny because we know that Rob Dreese, he could get rid of all the carp in the world if he could.
Huh?
Did you see in the outdoor news that a couple of lakes are being drained of their carp because they're being poisoned by goldfish that someone?
Oh, I did hear that.
Somebody released goldfish in the lakes.
They poison the goldfish? Goldfish are poisonous.
Goldfish are poisoning the carp. They're koi goldfish, and they poison only carp. And
we'll have to get into that more for
sure. Yeah, so Rob Dreeseline is going to invest in some goldfish. We got Bill now?
Hey, Bill, are you on the phone?
I can sort of hear you guys. We must have a weird connection today.
Okay,
we'll get through this.
We'll do the best we can, and if we can't hear you, we'll have to get you back. But anyway, Bill, thank you so much. I know you're heading back from your cabin. A few things we'd like to talk about tonight. We want to talk about the Wild on the Water coming up.
Of course.
And the second year we're doing that, we want to talk about how your sons laid the absolute smackdown on some bass this weekend. I don't think I've ever seen such a healthy pile of bass that your sons. Now, did he catch all those fish?
He did. And you know what's funny is every time you want to catch those, you never can, right?
Right.
We had the big Brainerd Classic 2 weekends ago. Sure wish we could have seen fish like that then, but this time of year, the topwater bite starts to pick up. So
the thing
is to get up just before sunrise and be on the lake, and I guess the fish were eating this week.
Well, we'll have to get into that a little bit, but first let's get into the Wild on the Water while we have you here and a good connection. So this is our second year of doing Wild on the Water. Why don't you talk a little bit about, now you have a great connection with Minnesota Wild Players, and I know that you were really essential in helping putting this together. Why don't you talk a little bit about the history of the tournament as its second year, what people can expect, and just a little bit about the tournament itself.
Sure. Well, you know, Keith Ballard, a hometown guy from here in Minnesota, right, came back home to the Wild, and his family runs, you know, Ballard's Resort, one of the most storied lodges in all of Minnesota. And Keith and I love to fish, and we started talking about getting the Wild fishing tournament going again a couple of years ago when we were in a boat on Mille Lacs chasing some of those smallies. We said, why not do it on Mille Lacs, right? And the idea just kind of gained a little momentum. A lot of the players were interested because a lot of those guys like to fish in their off time. And so the tournament came to life. And the key for us is this is a fundraiser, right? The money goes to the Minnesota Wild Foundation, which splits between different charities. And it's just a fun chance to get out and fish for the day, have a party out of Izades Resort, what we call the Fash on the Beach. The public is welcome to come and meet all the players. We've got huge names this year. You know, Coach Boudreaux is going to be there. Zach Parisi, Jason Zucker. I mean, it's just a great chance for people to mingle with their Minnesota hockey heroes.
Hey, Bill, Steve Strusinski, Strewman, the Wild Card. How are you, sir? Thanks for being on the 4-Outdoorsman. I'll tell you what, this is your second year doing this Water on the Wild, whatever it's called, right?
Wild on the Water, yeah.
Yeah, two things probably happened very successfully last year. You raised a lot of money for something, I'm sure. But Mark Lukey said he lost about 7 pounds running back and forth, dropping fish in the water and getting beer for all you guys. So he's looking forward to helping you again this year. I want to ask you this from a logistics point of view. When you run a tournament like that, do you have to get a permit, and are you limited to how many boats you can do and whatnot?
Yep, for sure. DNR regulates not just Mille Lacs Lake, but all Minnesota lakes, and these. It's amazing how many tournaments happen in Minnesota. So you apply for a weekend, and so many boats, and you go through a whole application process, and if you know everything's right, they say, yep, you can do it. So we actually are able to keep for the tournament, catch and release, you know, once we weigh those fish, any size fish. So fish in a slot, we're allowed to keep, which is very special that the DNR allows us to do that. But it's part of the fun of the tournament, you know. In the way this deal works, we have 24 boats. With a boat captain or, you know, guide, either a player or a coach, and then what we call a VIP angler. So somebody who signs up, they pay a little money to be in the boat. That's the money that goes to the charities, and then they get to meet their favorite NHL stars and hopefully catch a few big bass on Mille Lacs. And the way we do it, it's a three-fish tournament. And we did that by design. Catching 5 big smallies on Mille Lacs right now is tough. Like Boomer said, you can't even find a parking spot in any of the launches. And it's Texas, Alabama, Oklahoma on the license plates. A lot of people are fishing Mille Lacs, and the lake's getting tougher to fish. So we do the 3 smallmouth tournament because I feel like people have a better shot of getting lucky, maybe, if that's the right word. And catching 3 big fish. So this tournament is a little bit misleading, right? We're there to have fun and have people mingle and do a little fishing. This is not pure competition.
Go ahead, Mark.
And frankly, that's not why I fish. I'm not a tournament guy. You know, I don't go in the boat to win a plaque. I'm out there to experience the environment.
Well, Bill, I think that all of our shows, as you know, obviously, you're part of almost all of our shows, and we do quite a bit of fishing here or there, but it's not quite as hardcore as a lot of the other shows on Fox or whatever. And I think that I think you're a much better fisherman probably than people give you credit for. You're one heck of a fisherman. seems like everything we do, every tournament, you're always last up and you're always hauling out huge bass like you were last year. What are some of your tips? Now, don't give away your secrets, but you always seem to find the fish. And as Boomer said, sometimes the secret is knowing some people that have dialed in on the lake. But what is your approach? I know the water is really clear. It was a little slow last year because it was so hot and still. But what's your approach on a lake like Mille Lacs on hooking in some big smallies?
Well, first I pray.
First you bring your son with you.
Five years ago, you could go out there for a good portion of the year and be able to catch fish. People just weren't focused on the smallmouth bass. And now people are. So they're tougher to catch. You've got bug hatches. You've got other anglers you've got to deal with. You've got the spawn. You've got all that stuff. So the rule of thumb right now is to almost stay away from the other boats or the other spots.
Right.
You know, you'll go to an area, to a reef, and there will be eight other bass boats just circling, going back and forth. So, right, those fish get tougher to catch.
Correct.
So if you can use the electronics and all this technology we've got now and get away, find some little random pile of rocks or a couple of deep boulders off by themselves, you're going to have a little better shot of catching fish. I get less worried about size of fish versus finding schools of active fish.
Right.
It sounds like you're talking. It sounds like you went to school with Steve Kearney. That's Steve Kearney's philosophy for sure. Go ahead, Boomer.
Hey, Bill, Boomer here. Thanks again for joining us tonight on the Four Outdoorsmen as you're driving home. You know, you talked about the pressure on Mille Lacs, and I saw that the last few days because I haven't frequented Mille Lacs very much this year, and I got a chance to do it. And you're absolutely right. There, the parking lots are full. You see different license plates from various states. And
right.
The pressure on some of the more common reefs that you think of have just a ton of activity going around them. Do you think,
right.
Bill, do you think, you know, I found a little bit of luck of more long line in it. Do you think the zebra mussels have came into play as they have, like the length of your leader with walleyes as they played into the smallmouth bite?
It's, yes. And, you know, the angler of the year has been on the lake twice now. Is that right? Yeah.
Yep.
And if you watch how those folks fish, they are so protective of their spots, meaning if they find fish, they back off. The boat's not on the fish. The big motor's not going. They're creeping up, and they're throwing long casts to try and not spook those fish. You know, and Mille Lacs boat control can be tough, right? In the wind and the weather. So a lot of people will drift and they'll cast downwind to make sure they're getting to those fish if they're just kind of fishing an area versus specific fish or a specific rock. The fishing is harder, but the smallies are still willing. You know, I think if you want to go out there and try to catch a smallmouth bass, you're probably going to be able to catch a couple. Is it going to be like it was a few years ago when you could catch dozens and dozens? Maybe not, but you'll get a nice mix. You might not catch a bunch of smallies, but you're going to catch walleyes. Right?
There's no walleyes, you know, on Mille Lacs. Come on.
We've heard all the buzz, and we just chuckle to ourselves because over the last 4 or 5 years, man, we've got a lot of walleyes, and we've got a lot of big walleyes. And it's just a great fishery. And to have it, you know, 90 minutes away from the Twin Cities, it's an amazing resource.
Well, Bill, I Boomer here again. I've been watching you for a long time, and I really appreciate all of the stuff you're pioneering in the outdoors. So a question for a man about the woods.
Yes.
The perfect scenario for Bill Sherrick, would it be on a trip to Mille Lacs or the lake of your choice catching two 30-inch walleyes? Or selection B, would it be catching 3 8-pound smallmouth, or selection three, would it be, ready, Bill? Would it be a perfect morning in Kansas where it's just beautiful, the dogs are working out, and you get your limit of roosters in about 45 minutes?
Isn't option D all the above?
Very good answer, Bill. Very good answer.
You know, it's funny. You probably get the question all the time. What's your favorite fish to catch?
The one that's biting.
It's the next one, right?
Yeah. There you go. There you go.
I'm not a walleye guy. I'm not a smallmouth guy. I'm not a musky guy. I enjoy all the different ways you can try and catch fish in the sea. I mean, today, my son Brady and I went out at sunrise again. The top water bite went for a little bit, then it went cold. So you know what we did? We ended up fishing crappies and got on a little school of crappies. And my sister has her kids in town for a few weeks, so we took the kids out and they got to catch crappies. And best day ever. So I've transitioned a little bit. I catch a little bit of flack for not necessarily being on all the hot bites anymore, because I'm more focused on my sons, Brady and Bennett. I'd much rather be in the boat with them, just having fun.
Well, Bill, we got to about a minute and a half, and I just wanted to get in a little bit. So we did a little bit of a transition here on Minnesota Bound, where you and Laura are kind of introducing the show the last couple months. And just tell me how that's going, and maybe some stories you're working on in Minnesota Bound. I know that's a big step for you, and we're all excited at the office. Obviously, Ron's not retired, but you're taking a bigger role. And that's exciting for me because you're in the office and Ron's always in California or something.
Right.
But tell me, how has it been for you so far? And what are some stories you're working on in the next couple months?
Oh, geez. So far, so good. You know, what an honor to be able to carry the torch, so to speak. You know, Ron has set the standard for outdoor television, not just here in Minnesota, but around the country. And I guess he was charitable enough to give us a shot to help carry on the legacy. And for us, it's all about storytelling. We might not be doing as many hardcore fishing or hunting stories, but we're doing stories about people who love time outdoors and people who are passionate. And I feel like as long as we continue to tell those stories, everything's going to be okay. We've got a lot of them coming up. We'll be shooting the Wild on the Water event this year. You know, we have a local artist. You've probably seen his billboards and his advertising and his signs around town. But his real love is trout fishing. So he's doing hand-painted trout fishing hats that have become almost, they've just gathered a cult following, all that. So lots of stories like that.
But I'll tell you what, and I'm sure Ron's going to be involved, you know, for a long, long time as well. He's going to be participating every once in a while. And, of course, once he's involved, it's going to be great forever and ever and ever. Go ahead, Boom.
You know, Bill, I was going to ask you, what are some of the most monumental events that you've ever experienced with your own eyeballs? But one of them had to be seeing Mark on a horse.
Well, he wasn't there for that one. But I think he heard the stories of my pants splitting open.
Hey, Bill Shirk, Ron Shearer Productions, Minnesota Bound. Thanks for being on the 4 Outdoorsman. Take care of yourself. We'll follow you. You follow us. Take care of yourself and get home safely, all right?
Absolutely, Boomer. I'll see you next week. And by the way, we have a couple of seats left in boats. So if you want to fish next weekend for the Wild on the Water event, go to thewild.com, and they've got a link to the tournament. Get on, donate a little money to charity, and have a chance to fish with the best guides in Minnesota and your favorite NHL stars.
Thanks, buddy. We'll post that.
Thanks, Bill. I'll see you next weekend,
right,
buddy.
Thanks, guys.
Man, what an awesome guy.
What does it cost?
You're listening to the 4 Outdoorsmen, part of Bob Outdoors.
Families fishing forever, the motto of Alumacraft, the best aluminum boat company in the market. Boomer here. Alumacraft boats have been a part of our family's fishing adventures for the last 5 years. Whether we're chasing walleyes, going after bass, or panfish, Alumacraft has always covered the gamut of fishability. Dry rides and amazing space are just part of the value we love in our Alumacraft. To learn more about the Alumacash Red Tag Sale, where you can save up to $2,000, go to alumacraft.com or visit a dealer near you. If you love walleye fishing, then you'll love Devil's Lake, North Dakota, where walleye season is open 365 days a year. Plus, you can keep 5 walleyes a day with a 2-day possession limit. What does that mean? You can bring home 10 walleyes to the freezer, baby, and there's no slot limit. Devil's Lake just doesn't have world-class walleye fishing. It's got awesome jumbo perch, northern pike, and white bass. For lodging and guide options, up-to-date fishing reports, visit devilslakend.com.
Hey, what fire? Lakes Trading Company is up and running at 708 South Lake Street in Forest Lake. Fire may have destroyed the building, but not the spirit and the drive of the Twin Cities' premier firearms destination. If you enjoy the outdoors and love firearms, give Lakes Trading Company a very serious look. I tell you what, they've got everything you could want, whether you're a rookie or a pro, and the staff is second to none. Lakes Trading Company, well, my friend, they're coming back stronger than ever. If you want more information, check out their website. Go to lakestradingco.com.
Hi, this is Tyler Barr from Juice Baits. Juice Baits is a Minnesota company based out of Brainerd. Juice Baits are tried, true, and tested by me and my brother Kyle, who are both high school fishing state champions. And we know a good bait, so we came up with Juice Baits. Buy the whole line of soft plastics infused with the juice and get ready for boatloads of fish this season. Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and see the whole Juice Baits story on the web at juicebaits.com.
Sometimes deer like to jaywalk. And every once in a while, a basketball forgets to look both ways before bouncing across the street. When those moments happen, be ready for the stop. With a Michelin Premier All-Season Tire, a tire designed to maintain excellent wet braking performance throughout its life, so you can keep your precious cargo safe. Day after day, mile after mile. Compare wet braking distance at michelinman.com/long-lasting performance.
Commence Exxon and Mobil field test. Scientist observes Subject C at station. Subject C forgot his wallet. Subject C uses the SpeedPass Plus app to pay for gas and earn rewards with the tap of a button. Subject C is a cool guy. Subject C actually looks like my cousin Carl. Subject C is my cousin Carl. Conclusion, SpeedPass Plus is the quick, fast, secure way to pay for gas, and Subject C wrecked my jet ski.
Yes, you did, Carl!
Exxon and Mobil. Energy lives here. Visit Exxon.com or Mobil.com for details.
Odometers don't count miles, they count achievements. That's why Firestone's all-season champion tires come with a 70,000-mile limited tread wear warranty. That's our longest ever. So go see what's over the horizon. Go see this beautiful land of ours. Or just go see the world's largest ball of twine. The farther, the better. Because they don't call them milestones for nothing. Find the tires for your next adventure at FirestoneTire.com. Whatever you drive, drive a Firestone.
Is crushing candy getting boring? Do you want to try something new? Well, I know something better. You have to play the hit puzzle game Best Fiends that's sweeping the nation. You won't be able to put it down. If you're looking for something new or just tired of the same old boring match three game, then play Best Fiends right now. It's fun to play by yourself or with friends and family. Believe me, you won't regret it. So download Best Fiends for free on the App Store or Google Play right now. That's friends without the R. Best Fiends. Lots of people are tweeting me about this one. Total Country Bob FM.
Hey, we're back, guys. Four Outdoorsmen, Strewman, Boomer, Mark, Lukey. We just got done talking with Bill Shirk from Ron Shira Productions. He's taken over the Minnesota Bomb with Laura. And Ron is kind of going toward the sunset, but he's going to be involved in that show for a long, long time, doing occasional shows with these guys. But I'll tell you, Bill Shirk, he's got some stories.
You know what? And he's a great storyteller. And I mean, you said it, like, he's a great outdoorsman, too. Good hunter. I mean, fisher.
Yeah,
you know?
But he can't even do his own laundry. Did you ever see that? God, come on, Bill. Man. Come on,
I'm
Bill.
I'm looking forward to seeing him up on
the water. I think everyone in the cities has seen that one Kinetico commercial about 1,000 times. But, yeah, we're excited. And like I said, Ron has enough stories in the bank to last us about 5 years. So yeah. Ron's not going anywhere. But it's great to see Bill kind of take the reins. He's certainly worked hard for a long time.
Well-deserved.
Are you kissing his butt right now?
Of course. I know he's probably listening on his way home. But yep. You know, and the guy works hard. He does the flush. He does Made for the Outdoors. Kind of all of us do that.
Yep.
And what Ron always picked and where Ron started was journalists or people from the news, where it's always about the story. It's never about the fish. It's about the journey, as Stru always says. So
it's not the destination.
Yeah.
So Bill does a great job of telling the story instead of, hey, look at this big fish I caught.
Hey, before you get to the shout-outs, which is what you're going to do right now, I think.
I just have one quick correction. Can I do that quick?
Sure.
For sponsors? I've been pronouncing Corey's name wrong for about 3 months. It's Corey Bechtold, so sorry,
there it
Corey.
Is.
There's a CH in there that throws me off. So, Corey, sorry about that. He says hi to Boomer, and he says it was his friend, Aaron Gressfrud, in the photo. So,
well, I tell you what, that's another guy that's dialed into fishing. I know he has that social media tag, What's Working Now. That's really good to get him dialed in. You know, even speaking to social media to help you fishing. You know, one of the things when you go about a new lake, it's having those connections, being humble enough to say, I'm not the alpha and I don't know everything, and going out there and talking to people that know the lake and receiving that feedback. But what I like to do too, guys, is like when we're going to a new lake, I even did this for the Teen Challenge tourney when Nicole and I went out the weekend before for our anniversary just to fish Gull Lake and stay up there at Grandview, is I'll hashtag Gull Lake MN. And I'll search and I'll look for background. Yeah, the hands are moving, but I'll search through for what's going on. And so social media can be a big part of that. But a big part of that, speaking of that piece, Stru, is we haven't got to talk about hunting and fishing for the last 5 years without some great sponsors, right, buddy?
Absolutely.
So let's start with Alumacraft Boats, made right in St. Peter, Minnesota, also in Arkadelphia, Arkansas. They've been a part of my family for the last 5 years, part of our radio show for a long time, best aluminum boat company in the market. They just had a new announcement come out where they got acquired by BRP, and now BRP has the Marine Group, which joins Evinrude and Alumacraft together. So really excited to see the news on that front when it comes to innovation and new technology and fishing boats and motors. And Devil's Lake, North Dakota, guys.
Forgot about them.
We've been going out there for years. It's a wonderful fishery. You can keep 5 walleyes a day. There's no slot, 2-day possession limit. The waterfall hunting is world class as well. And then blackfish gear. I wore that all weekend. And I tell you what, I didn't cover my face with the blackfish, you know, neck gaiter, but I did have it on and my dad wore it. And we stayed cool out in the hot sun and we didn't get sunburned.
Talk about Osseo Power Sports. That's right by your house.
Yeah, you know, Osseo Power Sports is a great dealer for Honda, UTVs, ATVs. I used a UTV there this last winter when Nicole and I went out of Twin Pines and went fishing for walleye.
Saw that,
really,
yeah.
Good luck.
Yeah.
Those UTVs from Honda are absolutely amazing. In fact, Osseo Power Sports also does small motor repairs. So guess where my lawnmower went this week? I brought it into Osseo Power Sports, my
Attaboy.
Friend.
Boy, and we got Lakes Trading Company, the best gun shop in the Twin Cities. The fire is a memory, a long-awaited, long-ago memory. They're almost back to 100%. So Ben and those guys, more power to you. Lakes Trading Company, the gun shop in Forest Lake, just off of Highway 61. Go ahead, Mark.
And a shout out to Joe, who works at Lakes Trading Company. He just sheetrocked my basement. He works for a construction company. Did a fantastic job. So,
hey, look at that.
If you need some work done, building, remodeling, whatever, get a hold of us, and I'll give you Joe's number.
But hey, since you're promoting somebody.
Last but not least, let's not forget about live bait rigging is very popular for walleyes
right now. You already
talked
about the fishing buddy cooler.
Using live worms is very critical this time of year. Some for sunfish, or people like to use that type of live bait application across the board. Fishing buddy cooler. I use that. I went out and saw Carla and picked up a couple. They're going to be at ICAST this year. That's going to be
cool.
Exciting. But the Fishing Buddy Cooler, it's available in Shields, 50-something retailers across the United States. It absolutely does its job. It keeps your bait cool and frisky and ready for those hungry panfish or walleyes to chomp on them.
Well, I wanted to announce some pretty exciting news. The4Outdoorsman.com is soon to be releasing our new website, complements of Blue 42. social media and website and digital. You know a little bit about Blue 42. Why don't you give them a little plug?
Yeah, you know, Blue 42, we've been around here for about the last 5-10 years. It's a outdoor
not
digital.
Seven, not six or eight. It's yeah. 5 or 10.
I say it in ranges.
2 to 50 years.
Yeah, as I get to be 40 yeah. years old,
and you catch
all
the fish
years.
Between 2 and 15 feet of water.
That's absolutely right.
Anyway, Boomer is part owner of the Blue 42. Go ahead, buddy.
Yeah, it's a digital marketing company. You know, it does across the board from sports and gyms to hockey with Sniper's Edge Hockey to restaurants to law firms and financials. But it really has a niche in the outdoors. You know, we work with Alumacraft Boats, Clam Outdoors, Vexlar, Ice Team, Devil's Lake, North Dakota Tourism. A great company if you're looking for some digital needs, if you need a website, social media help, or getting found with some eyeballs on Google, i.e. SEO.
Well, the new website is going to be coming out soon. We had a professional photographer, our friend Josh, come and take some pictures. So we're going to be looking good on there. So from now on or after it's released, you can go to the4outdoorsman.com. And we have all the latest episodes on Podbean. And that's another announcement I want to talk about. We are now available on Podbean and Spotify. So that's a little bit different than we were a couple months ago. And thanks for everyone who's reached out. All the people that listen to the podcast, we've been contacted a lot on how to get a hold of the new show format. So everyone go to our website when it's up next week.
Yep.
And there's a link there on Podbean. Podbean is a free app you can get on your Android or iPhone. You can subscribe to the 4 Outdoorsman show and get every episode in your palm.
And one of the things I love about our new website, not only does it have easy links to click if you want to listen to us during the live stream, you know, 6 to 7 p.m. on Sunday nights. It also has our Podbean on there so you can listen to the last 5 shows. I tested that out on the way to Mille Lacs. It worked perfect. And on top of that, it also has our Instagram and our Facebook feed. So thank you to the 3,000-ish folks that follow us on Facebook.
All of us, right?
But don't forget to follow us on Instagram at the4outdoorsman. Or at the4outdoorsman.
Over my head, guys. Go ahead. Mark, go ahead.
Well, I wanted to bring something up, and I cut my teeth fishing on the banks of the Crawfish River in Columbus, Wisconsin, where my family farm is from, where I would sit my butt on the shore with a night crawler and a drop shot weight.
Yep.
And I would reel in catfish. I would reel in channel cats. I would reel in carp. I'd reel in sheephead.
Bullheads? Did you ever get any bullheads?
Yeah. Not so much in the river, but I did a lot of bullhead fishing as a kid at our cabin in Mount Morris Lake. So anyway, because I co-own our boat currently with Strew, and and I've used it almost exclusively for the past 3 years. So his son, Mike, has the boat. I thought I'd take the kids shore fishing. So I grew up, I didn't grow up, but as a younger man, I had a lot of friends from the Stillwater area, and I remember fishing for carp and sheephead and everything. So I took the boys down to a place called the Boom Site, which is just north of Stillwater. It's kind of an iconic place where a lot of people recreate. There's a big cave there and everything. And we sat our butts down on lawn chairs and threw some night crawlers out, and it brought back some great memories. So I just wanted to bring up, what experience have you had sitting on shores, shore fishing for rough fish typically? I know you can catch a lot of things from the shore, but I kind of want to get some feedback from the listeners. Maybe you can comment on our shout out on some good places to go where I can take my boys and just park and just catch some fish.
You know, I used to park my hiney below bridges a lot of the time. And with that being said, a lake that I used to frequent a lot when we went up north to Ottertail, which, funny story, is, you know, where Nicole's family cabin is up there on Rush Lake. Because bridges, if you're just looking for shore fishing, can be pretty amazing because it's flowing water and fish like that. And
in the shade too, probably. Huh?
Yeah, in the shade. And the nice thing about bridges as well, and or river fishing, is it's a multi-species type of area. So I used to use the same thing that you did. I would pick up from Carr's Marina there, I'd pick up, I don't know, 10 Laffy Taffies because they were a nickel a piece, and I'd have, you know, a box of worms, and I'd go out there with a hook and a bobber. And you're right, it could be a largemouth bass, it could be a smallmouth bass, it could be a walleye, a sunfish, a white bass, any type of species. But I would say shore fishing, I really like to use a lure or an application that is going to be more multi-species prone. Right.
Live bait, probably.
Yep, live bait.
Stu, you grew up in St. Paul in the rough streets. Did you ever go down to the river and throw a line in the water there?
Oh, I went catfishing one time. Well, more than one time. Down by, I used to call it the SHI plant. It's the sanitation plant down there. Henry Lucan's dad used to work down there. We'd ride our bikes down there, and we would catch carp. We were just using corn, I think is what we're using.
Yeah.
Corn and a bobber, and we'd bring some carp in and laugh and laugh and laugh. And we never kept them or anything, but that was a lot of fun. And down by the sanitation plant, oh, you can catch a lot of carp. And some nice ones, too. It was a lot of fun. Lake Phelan was fun when I was a kid. The first fish that I remember catching, other than the time I went fishing with my dad in his boat, shore fishing, I caught about a 3-pound bass on a Lazy Ike, casting from shore.
I remember that lure. It looked like a little half moon, treble hooks. I remember the Lazy Ike.
Invergrove Heights. Now, there's a place down in Invergrove Heights. Is 52 is Lafayette Bridge. Take 52 south to 55th, I think, or 55th Street. And just off the southwest corner of that intersection, there's a street that goes to the west there a little bit. But the big old platform, it's not a very big lake. And it is so popular. And I've been there 2 or 3 times before, and you can always catch a lot of good places to get kids going.
You know, guys, we have about a minute left, and I just wanted to talk about some of the Metro Lake fishing that I got to experience over the last week. And we went bassing, right? We went with my wife and her Alumacraft boats, XB200. And really what we found is a lot of those largemouth bass right now, and they're post-spawn, they're done spawning. They're off in the deep, off of the weed line. Okay. So if you can find those deeper weed lines, you know, 8 to 12 feet right where that weed line ends, that's where we had a lot of luck. Bill talked about it early in the morning or maybe late in the evening. Top water will get those really active. I also had one other observation, guys, on Mille Lacs and on Minnetonka. Lot of musky fishermen out there. So
really?
There must be something going on with the muskies, boys.
Is there a full moon?
I don't know what it was, but I saw a lot of people throwing lures that were the size of about 18-inch walleyes, so I can't imagine what else they'd be fishing.
I tell you what, this is going to be exciting for you guys this coming weekend. You can be—it's wild on the water at Mille Lacs, right?
Yep.
And
yep.
You guys are probably going to be doing some kind of report. We'll get in Facebook things from you guys all the time.
And iCast. I'll be in Orlando, Florida, Wednesday through Friday.
Big show. Get a good guest for us, maybe.
Yeah,
I'll get us
a nice big guest for that as well. So it should be an action-packed week for the Stelmack House.
I'm looking forward to it. Hey, talk to you guys next week. And in the meantime, Boomer's got something to say.
Get outdoors.